D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Stand by for BS and Beer. Stand by. Places, everyone. Places.
Makeup. Makeup.
Uh-huh. Any last minute adjustments?
Hold on. Okay, I'm good.
What is this? My chair lower than everybody else's or what? I'm just looking here.
I love this.
He loves it. Hey, welcome in. Another week, another edition. Book. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording from the virtual studios. With me as usual, not as usual. We hadn't been here in a couple of weeks. Heath Elson-Son to my right. That's Heath.
Yes.
Heath. And to my left, Tomas Mauricio on the board,
sir.
Producing the show, Tyler Kistner. You guys sit back, relax, because from Machu Picchu, Tomas just gave me that one, to the Arctic Circle. From California to New York and all the places in between, sit back, relax, because we're about to do this thing BS and Beer style. Gentlemen, welcome. Listen, I'm telling you, stand by. Lots of news. I'm gonna. Let me calm down just a second here. Take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath. I'm going to have to hit you with some Ritalin.
Because here's the problem. It's all the first week.
Yeah?
And if experience has told me anything, what we're seeing right now, while very exciting, happy that it's here, means absolutely nothing. When in the grand scheme of things.
That's right.
Because I'm gonna bring up a couple of guys real quick.
Yeah.
The all training camp team of
the all first 6 days team.
Yeah. Tommy Lee Lewis.
Man, he's hot.
No, he's
yeah,
I don't know.
Every
I
think, training camp.
He hasn't
Tommy
really
Lee
done
Lewis
much. Yeah, no, but he hasn't really done much yet. But the thing is, every year we're oh my God, Tommy Lee Lewis.
And,
okay, so name another.
He's
one.
So improved.
I'll give you another one. Devontae Harris.
No,
there you go.
That's the other guy on my list, Devontae Harris. The all Metairie, all training camp team. I mean, these guys are pro bowlers in the at training camp.
Arthur right. Mollett. I have a
– Wait, he got blown up, though.
Yeah,
no. He got blown up?
Yeah, he got – by
But
Taysom
he starts
Hill.
Out, it's the same thing. It's all these guys that when lights come on, they haven't done anything.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And you know, it's like – and it's hard. I know it's hard. And think if you're one of these coaches because you don't – You don't want to give up on a guy that shows that makes plays. I mean, at the end of the day, the guy makes plays, whoever he is, and then come cut down time. He's sitting there saying, "Man, if I cut this guy who has just lit it up in training camp, then he goes over to New England." That's the one.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to do is cut a guy and it goes over to New England, makes you look like a fool.
Yeah. Ninkovich.
You know, Ninkovich. Yeah. And so, but then you have to do it. You have to do it, and you cut him. But so far, you still got Tommy Lee Lewis.
He's still there.
He's still there. And here's the thing. Special teams, everybody's talking about the defense.
Long.
Everybody's talking about the offense. The thing that I'm the most concerned about after spending a week, just got back up, by the way. Yeah, welcome back.
Got a nice tan there, Dave.
You like that?
Yeah, is that a bar tan?
Yeah, well, just it only goes up so far. It only goes up so far. And, but another thing, I got to tell you.
Yes, sir?
So I get off the plane,
uh-huh.
And I get on the shuttle to go to the long-term parking, and I'm sitting there, and of course, I'm not paying attention. I'm tweeting. Some jackass takes my luggage, grabs my bag, and leaves the, you know, and gets in their car and drives away. So I'm the second. They were the first person to stop. Then they bring me to my car, and I'm like, yeah, that's my truck right there. So I go to get down, and I look at the bag, and I stop, and I kind of feel like I'm holding everybody up, and I look again, and I'm like, man, you want to talk about the look of confusion on my face? And I looked at and it's not a big bus. It's maybe like a 12, 15-person shuttle.
Yeah.
And I started trying to think, did I leave my bag at the airport? And I realized, no, the driver, here, I got it, and he took it. And I went to the back of the bus, and he threw it up there. And, well, then all of a sudden, the other people on the bus went, I said, man, that's not my bag. I'm like, and I was just flabbergasted. I couldn't figure out how the hell my bag's not there. And then the people start saying, no, the people we just dropped off. Now, keep in mind, I'm sitting in my seat, and of course, head down, tweeting, you know, whatever. They took my bag and got in their car and drove away. So I look on their bag, and they had the phone number and the address. So I'm like, okay, maybe I can catch them before
they get too far.
They turn around and bring my bag back.
Yeah.
So it goes to voicemail. I call them.
But did you check their bag to see if they had better stuff?
Well, here's the thing. I wasn't sure. Everybody on the bus told me they were driving a Lexus, so I was thinking They probably looked at my bag. They looked at me. They said, man, with that kind of fashion sense, we got to take that bag. There's no way around it. Yeah. We got to take that bag.
I'm going to tell you what I really think happened.
Okay.
Okay. Here's what I really think happened. Now, you know, I'm an experienced traveler because my wife has taught me these things. And that is, you must properly tip the guy who puts the bag
in.
If you don't tip the guy who put the, you know, I'll take that for you, sir. You know right away, you got to have a couple of ones in your hand.
Yeah.
So when you get out, thanks so much for getting that bag for me. I really appreciate it. Because if you don't, here comes that cheapskate thing, give me a buck.
And just lets those people take your bag.
You want that bag? Go ahead, take that bag.
Well, to add insult.
They might have hit a little five on there, a little five spot.
To add insult to injury, the people lived right there by the airport. I live an hour and a half away from the airport. And so the lady finally calls me later on in the afternoon because I tried to stick around for a little while in case they get the message and say, oh, man, we'll be right back. But after about 20 or 30 minutes, I said, man, it's pointless now.
Yeah.
She finally texts me back and says, and I made the mistake. She's like, when can we exchange it? I made the mistake of telling her I didn't have her bag. So then she's like, okay, well, I'm just going to drop it off with the – and I'm like, no. And, boy, my text back to her, I was trying to be super nice. I didn't want to be like, hey, you're a dumbass for – taking my bag, when can I get my bag back? I was very polite and was like, oh, you know, you accidentally took it, this and that. I thought she'd say, how can I get this bag back to you? I'm so sorry. She's like, yeah, we'll bring it and drop it back off to the at the airport. I'm like, no, sounds perfectly reasonable. I'll just drive an hour and a half back and pick up my bag so you're not inconvenienced by it. So, yeah, needless to say, she didn't reply to me for a while. And finally, I just got a text yesterday. It said, your bag's at the airport.
There you go.
So anyway, my exciting trip. Luckily, I didn't need a whole bunch of that gear. My iPad was in there, though. So, but they drove a Lexus. I assume they got their stuff together. But if they go in there and I come back and some of my underwear's missing, we're going to have a problem.
Ooh,
all right, y'all ready to get this show started?
Let's get it started.
Tonight,
let's do it.
On BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
Welcome back. It's the BS&B Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Tyler Kissinger producing the show for us today. Man, I tell you, it's exciting. Nothing but notes here. The funny thing is we only did this, you know, every day, just something different. Because one of the notes I had was that the two guys that started off on PUP, Coleman. And Who Man. Well, Who Man's off of PUP, but Coleman is still...
Coleman's off the team.
You know what? I had a tweet conversation with a guy a little bit earlier who was saying, and they were talking about five, and he had Coleman as fifth, and I'm sorry. And, you know, listen, everybody who listens to the show knows I'm not a huge fan of Coleman, but I do think he has certain qualities. The problem is it's just too much depth. There are people on the squad now who can do what he does. Barring injury, he's the fifth guy. He's got to be a coverage
guy
in special teams.
He's not even the fifth guy anymore.
Well, I mean, okay, so who would be the fifth? You got Meredith, you got Thomas,
you
got
Ginn. One of the two guys they just brought in will be fifth. Probably
You think? Well, now, Tate, I understand.
Tate's going to make the team as a returner, but he's going to count as a wide receiver. They're not going to put a special roster spot just for
– Right, I agree. I started alluding to this before the suitcase story came up. Special teams. The one thing, I mean, man, we can sit here and just blow smoke about all the good things that are going on because there are a lot of positive things, and we'll get to it. But the thing that seems to be the biggest problem, which we may not notice, but it's oozing out of every pore of Sean Payton, is the special teams. He made a joke. It was pretty funny. He was saying, you know, talking about The Bachelor. He said, man, we're going to keep throwing people out there until we find somebody can do it. And then just on, what was it, Tuesday –
Literally the next day or maybe 2 days later or whatever, Tate comes in.
Yeah,
who has experience in returning it, punt and kickoff.
Yeah. I think if you look back to last season, there was one game in particular where Sean Payton was bent out of shape. and that was the Rams game. In the Rams game, every time we punted or kicked off, they ran it back 30 yards, 40 yards. We got nothing. And so I think right there was the day that Sean Payton said, that's got to be addressed.
Yeah.
Now, they put Kamara in there, you know, and he had that great kickoff return that we all remember. But the bottom line is he's too valuable to have him in there for punts and kickoffs.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And so you need somebody in there. So I think what happened is, I think Sean Payton looked at these guys and said, okay, I might have a couple of guys who won't fumble the ball, but they're not going to make any yards. I got a couple other guys who sit back there, wait for the ball to bounce. And although he yells and screams about don't let the effing ball bounce, they still let the ball bounce.
Yeah.
So he's like, I have no choice. All these people, none of them can do what I want them to do. I got to find somebody who can. So I think that's why he went out and said, Tate. This guy set all kinds of records when he went to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, then this is the guy we're going to give him a shot.
His career numbers in the NFL are 24 yards on kickoffs and 10 yards on punt.
Done deal.
And he doesn't fumble the ball.
Right, there you go.
That certainly is better than anything the Saints have had.
And that's the key, what you just said there, because nothing will get you sat down or cut quicker than turning the ball over.
That's right. The
thing is, we do have guys that can come in and just field a punt. I say that. But we kind of don't have those guys because, I mean, at one point, Bird. There was no way Bird was going to do anything on return. Same thing with they had Snead. Snead back there. Ironically, they put him back there as just a guy, punt safe, catch the ball. He fumbles it.
Yeah.
And you got Lewis who has demonstrated some excellent return ability, but an inconsistent catcher of the ball. The interesting thing that I heard. Now, keep in mind, while I was at practice, I don't spend a lot of time watching the special teams, you know, maybe a little bit of the kick or whatever, but I tend to come a little bit later once things start, you know, you practice starts developing a little bit. And somebody said Taysom Hill. And then immediately when they said that, my ears perked up. I'm like, man, you talking about a guy who we can get into a little bit more about his quarterback play. But the way things look right now, he's destined for that number three spot, emergency quarterback. But if he's an outstanding special teams player, what a perfect thing, right? You have a guy that's an actual
quarterback. Well, he's holding the ball. He's holding for the kicker, and he is working as a gunner.
Right. Well,
it really makes me wonder if they've ever actually put him in as a returner.
Well, here's the thing. I guess they did. I didn't observe it, and he couldn't catch the ball cleanly. So all of a sudden, I went from being all like, what a great idea.
Well, wait now. Again, you have to think what the circumstances are. He came in last year. He didn't have time to absorb any of the offensive philosophy, nothing, okay? So he sat on the bench. And finally, coach said, we got this big, fast guy out here. We need somebody on special. Put his butt in there. And so he excelled at what he did. Why? Because it wasn't like you have to learn a 500-page playbook.
Right.
Okay? Now he comes back. Now they had him working just as quarterback. So they put him out. Hey, go back there, see if you can feel that punt. When was the last time he fielded a punt?
No, I agree. And the thing about it.
So if you tell him, hey, you know what? You're going to be the third backup emergency quarterback. You're going to hold the ball, and we want you to be the safety guy. We want you to be the guy that if nobody else can do anything, at least you can catch the ball. You don't have to run it back.
I'd hope that he'd be more than that. Now, again, I agree with you. He's an outstanding athlete.
Yeah.
And there's a point where if you get enough work at it. Okay, we talked about Coleman a little bit earlier. Coleman was not a very good catcher of the football. And I was actually, I remember when it first hit me, training camp in lacrosse. And I was watching them catch these balls from the jug machine. I don't know how fast they had it set. It was coming out really quick, really aggressively. And he wasn't more than 6 yards away. I mean, they just pop, 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 pop. And I watched him catch the ball. And you know that's something that he worked on constantly. Any receiver trying to make the team. And he improved on it. Same thing can happen with a good athlete. I'm not trying to say it can happen. I'm saying they shouldn't stop trying because, to me, again, based on the first week of camp, it doesn't look like he'll – all this hype, it doesn't look like it. He's struggled quite a bit. And my observation, reading the observations, because it's funny, I always reconcile my observations, especially when I have an observation I know is not going to be popular. I got to make sure that I'm not seeing something and everybody else's. Even though I might say it, I won't say it as aggressively. But, yeah, I mean, just the guy's just not very clean or crisp. He's not completing a lot of passes, one hopping a couple of balls. Having said that, the one thing I'm going to give him a minute is he's a running quarterback. He is an athletic quarterback. Until he gets in the game, there's a whole dynamic of his game that he can't really display in training camp. at practice.
Right.
So who knows what happens when he gets in there and, okay, incomplete pass, drops back, picks up 15 yards, and then all of a sudden the defense looks a little bit different, and then, you know, he makes another complete. My point is you bring that element that you don't really have during practice in training camp. You bring that to the game, and I'm not saying he'll all of a sudden turn into the All-Pro, but maybe he's a little bit better than what we're seeing out there. And two, it's the first week. I want to give him a chance. Maybe it's because I want him to be successful.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. Somebody did a list of five most impressive players so far and the five least. I don't remember which one of the
– Mary did that.
And they had Savage on there as one of the five least impressive.
Right.
And I remember thinking to myself, how did they go with him over Hill at this point so far? I mean, but the bigger issue is that regardless of – we have two guys – out of three quarterbacks that could right now make the list of five least impressive players at camp.
Right. Well,
that's a little scary so far. You know what I'm saying?
You probably want to diversify by position, but we may have three of the least impressive guys because JT Barrett is – he's not playing as well as Hill is. And that's arguable, but right now the backup quarterback situation, which actually leads into a topic – that
well, don't leave this yet because I haven't said no, well, go ahead.
But leads into a topic that I want to really dig into. And after we take a break, we can come back about and talk about it because I believe that our lack of backup quarterback will cause us to play differently, specifically in the first four games, than we would have if we'd have confidence in somebody to come in the event that Drew got hurt. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But what were your thoughts that you want to share with us, Tomas?
All right. First of all, I'm going to say this. The playbook for the New Orleans Saints is an extremely complicated playbook. You're not going to get anybody who's going to come in and say, I got this in a week. There's not a single soul that's going to do that. I don't care who they are.
But who are you
referring
to?
Who are you talking about?
Who's only been here a week or even a month?
No, what I'm saying is you pick a quarterback that you think is a great quarterback.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
bring in one of these young rookie quarterback.
Can't think of his name right now.
All right, Garofalo, who got traded to San Francisco.
Right, right.
Okay, you bring him in and say, "Here's the playbook. There's big giant, 14, yellow page books here, and you got to learn all the verbiage. You got to learn all this stuff. Okay, now get out there and go run your plays." I don't think there's anyone who's going to be impressive in the first week of training camp. I don't think anybody's going to be impressive, even if they did the little mini camps in before that. Okay, just because of the way this offense is geared to one guy, Drew Brees. These people aren't Drew Brees. Okay, there's your first thing. Your second thing is I'm not going to pass judgment on this guy based on 1 week of playing.
I agree with you.
Okay?
I agree with you. And I said that.
Now, I will say this. I go to what you say, and that is I need to see the experience. Okay, Savage has experience. He's played in games. He played at the Texans when they lost Watson. Okay? He looked like a deer lost in the headlights when he played in Texas. I don't see it getting any better here in New Orleans. You say, well, we feel more confident. Okay, how many games did the fellow who was here, who's now at Chicago, how many actual games did he play?
Who are you talking to?
Daniel?
Daniel? Zero.
Right. So how much more confidence would you have? Look, if we lose Drew Brees, we'd be just like the Green Bay Packers losing Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like New England losing Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Just like Atlanta losing Matty Ice. There's only one starting quarterback. The offense is geared to that guy.
I do agree with that, but there are more competent backups.
Patriots. Patriots.
Yeah, I mean,
they won with four guys a couple years ago when Tom Brady was.
And the thing is, here's the
three
thing.
Guys.
If we can go into a little bit, I believe the Saints this season could probably win a few games. Maybe not more than they lose, but let's say it's four games. I think they could win two. Again, depending on what stretch of the – are you playing the Rams, the Eagles? And I think the Saints team is good enough to be successful with a quarterback that just doesn't kill them. But I made a point on Twitter earlier today. Somebody I was listening to, a national feed, and they were saying that, well, the Browns, if they could just eliminate the turnovers. And he said, look, right here in this game, there are two interceptions. If they just don't throw – I'm like, in order for them, that's why they're bad. If you eliminate it, you would have to quit passing the ball to eliminate interceptions.
Right.
And that, so at some point, you got to drop back.
And your fumble rate would go up.
Right. Yeah, it's just one thing or another. Or you'd sit there and say, okay, on third down, we just run a draw – And then you end up never scoring a point. Another team beats you 10 to nothing. So the point is the reason you can't just say no more turnovers. Where I'm going with this, and I kind of got off the subject there, is that I think the Saints are good enough to weather the storm for a four-game period if we have a serviceable backup. But I don't know if we have a serviceable backup. Matter of fact, I was listening to some, I'm in New Orleans absorbing everything, and Jeff Duncan sends, there's a tweet. He says, I don't get how everybody's so mad about Savage. And I thought to myself, I don't want to reply to him on Twitter, but here I am replying to him on our but it's just a podcast, so we have tens of thousands of people who listen to it. How would you not be mad? At least, let's use Hill as an example. Nobody was mad about having Hill. He could be worse than Savage, but at least we don't know that yet, right? We still have potential. But you've seen what Savage can do.
Right.
Why would you be anything other than disappointed that we signed Savage? There's no reasonable
person.
What was
he saying? Was he saying being mad at Savage or being mad at the Saints for signing Savage?
He was basically saying, why is everybody on Twitter so upset that we have Savage? He didn't understand why everyone was so upset.
Right.
And it was just a broad brush statement that he made. The way I took it is, like, I'm just like, would it be more reasonable to be excited that we have Savage? Which one is more reasonable? Man, we got Savage, okay, so, man. Man, damn it to hell, we got Savage. I think the second is a more reasonable statement.
Let me say something here. You know, number one, yeah, you need to have somebody at a backup that's at least serviceable. It's also up to the coach, the offensive coordinator, to do whatever he has to do to his play calling to fit whatever this quarterback's doing. New England doesn't run the same stuff when Tom Brady is out of the game that they run when he's in the game, yet they were able to win with the backup and then his backup, who was a rookie, okay, who's now in Indianapolis or whatever.
Right, Brissett.
Brissett, yeah. Okay? The second thing is, I hate to say this, and I know this is not going to be real popular. At some point, we have to start wondering whether we need to take the quarterback guru title away from Sean Payton. Okay, because I haven't exactly seen anything that he's done outside of Drew Brees at quarterback since he's been here with the Saints that makes me think he's a guru.
Well, back to the linebacker. I'm going to just make a quick statement and give it to you. We've talked about that with the linebackers. The argument was, it is what's the guy's, the linebacker coach before I can't remember his name? Vitt. Okay. Is it Vitt's inability to coach him up, or is it the fact that we looked and we never really drafted a whole bunch of talent at linebacker? He's never had much talent. The one guy he had that was good, Vilma, you know, and the other guys were.
I get your point, okay?
No, I'm not disagreeing with you.
We did draft at least one guy, and he wasn't even a low draft round.
Stephon?
No, at quarterback I'm talking about.
Oh.
You're making this analogy between the linebackers. What was the kid from Colorado State or whatever?
Garrett. It'll come to me.
Okay. So,
but even if not talent, we haven't seen anybody take a real step forward.
No,
the kid from Tulane. Did you see any improvement in that guy at all when he was here?
Okay.
What about Daniel? This looked horrible when he came back. He didn't show any improvement.
Well, that's
to
what
me.
I was going
to
say to you. Look, he came on as a supposed guru because he was in Dallas. And he was able to shape Tony Romo into a starting quarterback. He really did do that there.
Well, how much shaping did Tony Romo really need, though? How much credit should we give Tony?
A lot, because he was all over the place when Tuna first got to Dallas. Tony Romo was not that much.
I know. What was he, a rookie? I mean, what I'm saying is, after that point, how much of it was really credited to Sean Payton? How much of it is credited?
You see, I do think you make a good point. And I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm saying it's a point you can question. It's like, who knew, because Tony Romo was undrafted. So when he becomes a good quarterback, that must be the coach. Maybe he was just a good ball player. Conversely, you know.
Who was the quarterback coach? Because we've actually had quarterback coach here. Wasn't it Lombardi at one point and all? Wasn't he the actual quote-unquote? He came back. Didn't he leave it and come back?
Yeah, he went to Detroit.
So who was the quarterback coach in Dallas? How much of it was really Sean Payton? And how much of it was really the player and or if there was an actual quarterback coach?
Oh, I can't answer that. They also had Bledsoe. Bledsoe was at Dallas at that point too.
Yeah.
Because that's who Romo replaced.
Later in his career.
Right. And yeah. So could he have been maybe a coach for Romo
as well?
Yeah,
he probably was.
So, I mean,
but, I mean,
there are a lot of ifs, ands, and buts, and nuts, and whatever else.
I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, 100%, I'm getting, you know, this man don't know how to coach quarterback.
So what you're saying is you're saying something controversial on the radio that might get people to listen and say,
yeah. Yeah. And then I'm going to back it down because I fear the repercussion. And I don't know one way or another whether he is a guru or he's not, but all I can say is the body of evidence I've seen, I got to at least think in my mind.
Could you say the same thing? We may need to really find somebody more talented.
Well,
would you say the same thing about Belichick and Brady then? Because he has had quarterbacks over there that he's let go because he sticks with Brady. They've gone some other places and they've done okay. The kid at the Colts did okay when
he was
there.
Well, the only guy
that he's really had that's been worth 10 cents is Garofalo's at San Francisco.
Well, right.
Because the kid he got from Arkansas, Mallett, whatever his name was.
Yeah, Mallett.
You know? They thought the world of him and then he left.
No, I don't disagree with you. I just don't know that Bill Belichick actually is the quarterback coach or ever really has been.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't know that anybody's ever called him a quarterback guru.
Well, I do,
even with Brady.
I do think it's interesting because you still the argument can be made. You take one quarterback and you take him on a very talented team or one system that fits his skill set and you send him to another place.
And he's no good.
And he's no good. Or vice versa. He was okay with you and he got better because the system fit him. Like, it's so hard. I do find your point interesting because you're absolutely right. Show me what guy that the great quarterback, you know, wrangler, you know, has developed. And the answer, really none outside of Drew Brees. Although, you brought up a name. The kid from Tulane that was on the team for
Griffin.
Griffin.
Wasn't that his name?
Something like that.
Ryan Griffin.
Yes. Yeah. RG4. There's word that he might be starting against us in week one. He's looked good in camp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then, doesn't that change the argument a little bit?
No, it means it makes it even worse. They developed over here. He left a great quarterback guru, and now he's going to become a starter in the NFL.
That's crazy. Okay, so I think we beat this subject up pretty good. You guys ready for a break, man? Y'all seem all worked up.
Yeah.
I tell you what, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We can come back. We have so much more observations, other things to argue about.
Tyler, get me Sean on the phone, man. I need to apologize to this guy.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
I'd rather hear it come from me.
All right, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
BS and Beer, a national institution since, it's a really cool show.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Tyler Kissner, the producer today on the board. Listen, I want to shout out all our military guys listening all overseas. I get some emails and just want you to know, for the military folks, and I don't want to get emails from everybody else. It's something we do if you're in the military. Downloads are absolutely free for you guys. Listen to the show, download it. As long as you're a military person, you don't pay a cent. It's absolutely free. Everybody else, Tomas?
Do you want me to smack them now?
Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, brother. Let me tell you what. Bitcoin is important. I'm actually going to set up, I'm telling you, I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to do this to y'all.
I listen to all these other podcasts. They're all begging for money, right? Oh, donate money here. If we get to $200, we're going to give an extra. I'm telling you the truth.
No, they do. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Who was it? It was one of the.
I'm not giving names.
No.
I'm just saying, I listen to all the podcasts because I want to hear our competition.
Oh, my God.
So I can smoke them. But in any case. I say that just for Dave. See, Dave's a nice guy. He wants to treat everybody nicely. He doesn't want to make any enemies. Me, I don't give a rat's butt. All right, so there you go. But anyway, since they're all begging for money, I'm not going to beg. I'm just going to tell you, look, if you want more than what you're getting, pay up. That's all there is to it. I'm not begging.
Well,
I'm going to set up a special Bitcoin account with my good friend Heath over there. He and I are going to work this out. And we're gonna put it all together because let me tell you what. You see, during the season, we're called BS and Beer for a reason, right? I'm parched right now. I could go with some. You know what I'm saying?
I'm getting a little dry throat.
You know, we're gonna set up a tip jar on the website.
There you go. It'll be the Bitcoin tip jar.
So, Ross, do you know how much a Bitcoin's worth right now?
Huh?
Do you know how much a Bitcoin is worth?
I don't even really understand how it works. I actually tried to look it up and start reading. Got more.
So, how many Bitcoins are you asking? From each listener,
Oh, okay. Yeah, it'd have to be a fraction because I think
right. It's 0.0021.
There's a Bitcoin's currency exchange right there on the screen.
Oh, there it is, Bitcoin.
Wait, I don't have any glasses on.
What's that?
It's up to $7,000?
$7,664. It's actually down about $300
today.
Oh,
my God. I should have set up that mining thing a long time
ago.
I was on top of this, and
yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm going to get into mining and all, and then the GPU prices shot up and everything, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to risk that much
money.
Been
up
in that was $1,000 back then.
It's been up in the 10,000s, but that's what you're asking for one Bitcoin right there.
Yeah, we just get
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's why I said 0.0021.
All right, there you go.
Figure out. What's 0.0021, Tyler?
0.0021?
Yeah, let us know what that is.
All right.
The opinions expressed by Tomas do not necessarily reflect the thoughts and views of David Romero
but
or
sure.
the BS and Beer
but
podcast.
But sure.
And David's silence should not in any way be mistaken for agreement on the subject.
All right. Oh, so anyway.
So 0.0021 would be $17.65.
There you go. I was very close. That's what I thought it would be 1995. That's why I put 0021.
So,
maybe when it was at the price that I looked at it, it was 1995.
I thought he was just trying to confuse everybody, try to send
them
Bitcoin.
Serious.
And the next day they'd be like, honey, how come the rent check bounced?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you sent a Bitcoin to somebody.
Man, 0.0021. That's what I'm telling you right there.
All right. So here's what I was talking about a little earlier.
Actually, since I'm Tomas 19, let's make it 0.0019. Okay, we got it. Go ahead.
I still don't know. Is that more or less?
No, that's he just gave us a deal.
Give him a discount?
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
That's right.
Bitcoin.
That's right.
All right. So one of the things, this was a whole thought train process. What do you call that? A flow of consciousness? We've talked about Mark Ingram being out for the first four games.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the next thing is like, okay, how are we going to handle this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, we give Kamara more touches.
No.
Thing is, not going to, even Sean Payton said, we're not going to really give him significantly larger role. You never know. And look, we know if the game's on the line and you got to give him the
ball.
That's
different.
But the point is we're not just going with the game plan and just hand him the ball.
No.
So then we have West.
Yeah.
And what's the kid from the Buffalo? No, not Vereen. I'm talking about the kid from Buffalo that was on the team
Williams.
Last year.
Williams.
No,
Jonathan
well, you got
Williams
too.
Edmonds?
I'm thinking of Edmonds. But yeah, and Williams. You're talking about guys who are more or less pounders. You're talking about 3 yards in a cloud of dust kind of guys. So then I'm sitting there thinking,
you can
okay,
call my guy out now. Come on, name my guy.
Who? Vereen?
No.
Oh, Boston Scott.
There you go.
Well, I like Boston Scott, and we can talk a little bit about him later. But still, again, not necessarily.
He's not a pounder. He can run inside, no, but he's not.
He's more or less. Okay, I hate when people do this.
Then why are you going to do it?
Because it's just easy. Darren Sproles comparison. Even Darren Sproles can run between the tackles, but you don't want to give him the ball a bunch of times. So, okay, let me continue down. So
unless
all
you don't
of a
like
sudden.
It.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, okay, the Saints have picked up Meredith. Now, all of a sudden, Smith, the wide receiver, third-round draft pick,
Traquan,
looking excellent.
Yep.
And you think, you know what? The Saints are going to throw the ball more. This isn't nothing new. Then it just kind of hit me that I don't know. You're talking about taking Drew Brees and putting him in a position where he can take more hits by throwing the ball more, and it just hit me with no backup quarterbacks. That I think the Saints are going to kind of have to be satisfied, or probably will. My prediction is they will be satisfied with being not very dynamic or explosive on first and second down. I'm not saying they're not going to throw the ball, but what I'm saying is that they will still run the ball with those other guys, because I just don't think the Saints, it's not just about extending Drew Brees' career. It's about we have a team, and I, after being at camp for a week, I am convinced this team can compete for a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They cannot risk getting Brees injured by passing more. And again, I want to clarify before Tomas gives his point, which I'm sure is going to contradict me. You know how it works. Is it's not – Drew Brees used to do that. Yeah, of course, man. It's not that he can't, but all it takes, especially for a 39-year-old quarterback, is that one big hit. And not only does it extend Brees' career and – take a little bit of pressure off his arm and throwing the ball so much, but it extends his career and protects him from taking that potential one big hit where a guy runs clean and gets hit on him. So now this whole long thing that I've just explained, it started off in one area and evolved into another that I think that the Saints will use the same game plan. The only difference is it won't be as explosive or dynamic because you won't have Ingram in the game.
Well, a couple of things. With the way it looks, the receiving core is going to shape up this year. And if the offensive line is completely healthy, including Armstead right from the get-go, Drew Brees never used to even get – nobody got close to Drew Brees when he had guys to throw it to and a line that could protect.
True story.
All right. Second point is, what is it, week five or whatever? We've already heard some talk about this. The guy that – we're on primetime, I think, right? Aren't we on
right,
week
right,
five?
Right.
And the announcer was all excited because he's got that earmarked as the game that Drew Brees will surpass Peyton Manning.
Right.
And so no better way to do that than to make sure Brees has got plenty of yards in the first 4 weeks. That's all I'm saying.
And you know that I definitely see how that can have a factor, but I don't think
that was really more of a joke. I don't think the Saints are going to tail any game. So
But having said that, that is, believe it or not, to me, if I was coaching, it would not have anything to do. But Sean Payton, he's proven through the years that kind of stuff matters to him.
Yeah,
Tomas. Totally. I mean, you think it's something that would affect the way they approach the game?
Well, you know, they have expressions that make it through the years and the years and the years. And a lot of people get tired of hearing these expressions, but they hold the truth. A leopard doesn't change its spots. So what offense do we have? We have an offense that is geared, centered around the quarterback, Drew Brees. I'm very sorry. I cannot see Sean Payton suddenly say, man, you know, we don't have a backup quarterback. So, Drew, I'm going to protect you. We're going to wrap you up in bubble wrap, okay? All we're going to do is just hand the ball off, okay? Yeah. You just don't even take one step and just hand it off and then fall on the ground so you don't get hurt.
All right, first of all, I'd like to point out that I never said any of that.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said. That's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Look, I'm getting you all ready because when the season starts, we got that Tomas rant thing, you know? and so I'm getting ready for it, okay?
Warming up.
And don't think for a second that whole we're not going to give Kamara an increased workload. Yeah, will go completely out the window.
I can believe that they're probably considering that, but then all of a sudden, you know, once the game goes, it's third quarter and you're down by three and you're like, Kamara's sitting over there getting some water, and you just snatch him out of, get out there.
Yeah.
No, look, I truly believe. Look, he didn't sign these people just to have camp bodies. You know, he's got to play a game now where you still have Ingram because he can play in the training camp. He can do everything. So you can't let him just sit on the bench during training camp and the first 4 weeks. So he's got to work him in as if he's going to start the first 4 weeks, yet at the same time, make enough time for somebody else that he can say, okay, the guy who's going to start is going to be this guy. Okay? So to me, I think that Ingram is not a pounder. I mean, I'm hearing from my friends over here about how, yeah, we need a guy who's a pounder. We don't have one now. No,
okay, Ingram's hang on. Before you get on your Tomas rant, that's the exact opposite of what I said. I said those other guys are pounders. Ingram is dynamic. Without Ingram, he is your in-between the tackle runner, but he is dynamic. You could put him in I formation. You can run run him around.
To me,
you could pass the ball. You can do whatever. With those other guys, they're not the dynamic player that Ingram is. So on first and second down, generally speaking, now again, I just use first and second down as a broad brush for saying, you know, generally when you might be expecting to run the ball.
Well, I'm just going to say to you, until the season unfolds, we'll see. But as of right now, I put my Bitcoin on. I put my Bitcoin on Boston Scott. I still think that he has the best shot of being the guy who plays in place, because if you're talking about dynamic, of the guys that we've got at running back, the only dynamic guy we got, in my opinion, Boston Scott.
Yeah, but okay, now, this is we remember this from early in Ingram's career. This is an important part of which one of these guys is going to fill in from Ingram. I don't know which one, if any, can block.
Yeah, Ingram couldn't do either.
Because you remember, originally, Ingram couldn't stay on the field. Because he could not block, and that is critical what the Saints do.
That's true.
So what we really need to be looking at is which one of these guys actually, I don't know if West or Williams or any of these guys, it's unlikely, at least early on, that Boston Scott is going to be a guy that's going to come in and excel at blocking.
And here's the thing. I like Boston Scott. I like what I saw in him. He's very quick. He's explosive. The problem is that, man, at his size, again, yes, he's dynamic, but you could probably say that about Vereen. But on when you're trying to run the ball, when you're trying to get those tough yardage, what makes Ingram special is the fact that, no, he's not really a pounder. He's not a guy that you say, man, we're just going to – but the fact that the defense doesn't exactly know if it's going to be a run or if they're going to play action pass or if they're going to – he can do it all. Maybe not as well as Kamara, but he can't. Those other guys don't have all those levels to
their
game.
You know, Ingram is – he's not a pounder. But he's always at the top of yards after first hit. He doesn't go down easy.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And he doesn't lose yards a lot at all.
Well, and I guess when I say he's not a pounder, the guy runs strong.
He's 6'2", 235
exactly. You know, he's
pounds,
only like 5'10". You know,
yeah. Right.
So he's not necessarily a huge guy either, but the way he's built, and the Boston Scott is built that way as well. The problem is, again, going back to he's just too small to be the guy. Now, would that mean that maybe you have a guy, one of those other bigger guys in there, and then you also give Boston Scott a couple of carries, and then you have Kamara get his normal workload? Yeah, I could see that. They're not just going to take one guy, West, and say, West, you get all of Ingram's touches. You know, they can divvy those up to Boston Scott and right. –
Can you imagine having a line? I don't know if he'll make the team or not, but could you imagine having a lineup with Kamara and Vereen in the backfield?
I think
these are two guys that can get out in the flat and really do some serious damage.
And I tell you what, too, you know, back to Tomas's point, man, I saw Boston Scott. He catches the ball much more fluidly than I thought. Like, you know, just everybody who's small and they're elusive, it's like, oh, they're receiving back. I mean, you got to be able to catch the ball effortlessly to be pluck the ball. That's what separates guys. The ones who can snatch the ball out of the air, turn up field, and get going. Who was it that we made jokes about last year, Tomas, or maybe it was 2 years ago, that, oh, yeah, the kid from New York, Buffalo, and he'd catch the ball and he'd go to the outside and then he'd go to cut and it'd be like, 1, 2, 3, 4 steps.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah,
start,
yeah, yeah.
No, you put your foot in the ground, you change in direction.
Right.
The point is that to be able to pick up yardage, after in these shorter passes, it seems easy, but the difference is get the ball to him quick on time, which Drew Brees will do, then to pluck the ball and turn up field and make a move and get out there and get your 3 yards and 4 yards and a first down.
Look, I'm just saying, to me, I don't see Sean Payton or Drew Brees just all of a sudden going into a completely different mode of operation on our offense.
But it would be
regardless of who is back there.
But it wouldn't be different. It would be what they did the entire 2017 season. Is that kind of balance? My point, if you're missing this, is that I just don't think they're going to revert back to being just a pass on every down. And,
oh no, I don't think they're going to do that either. But at the same time. Last year, really, was basically Michael Thomas and let's see who else can catch the ball.
I agree with
you. Now, this year, I don't see that. Because even though a lot of people are down on Ben Watson because of his age, I got news for you. Ben Watson is a professional. He's going to be ready to play. He knows all the little tricks of how to position his body.
I agree.
So I think
and I'm not a big fan.
But I think we have a much better target and weapon for third downs with Ben Watson than we had since Ben Watson was on the team before.
Let me clarify that. I am a fan of Ben Watson. I wasn't a huge fan of him being the answer at tight end. So I just want to clarify.
I don't think he's
the
answer long term.
No. But if he can do better, give us better production than we got last year.
So if we get better production
I can give you better production.
You got Traquan Smith. You got Michael Thomas. You start seeing when I see that they have more tools now to throw the ball if they want to, which I think then will put a tremendous amount of pressure on our opposing defenses.
Can you imagine how many people's heads will explode when and if they realize that the only reason Sean Payton was running the ball as much last year is because we didn't have the offensive
weapons.
And
that's probably why.
And then all of a sudden,
yeah,
we get some more weapons, and it's like, who needs Ingram? We're about to get rid of him anyway.
Well, but then,
his contract's up.
Yeah.
Well, but then imagine that you have, even by committee, enough people to cover for two. Let's say you have two backs, Boston Scott and somebody else, to take the carries that Ingram would have had in the first four games. But now you also have a new wide receiver who's big and is willing to go out there and catch the ball, a tight end who can now get you a third down where before you couldn't get one, and all of a sudden the defense is going to do what? I mean, think about this. Our opposing teams in the NFC South, how many of them drafted cornerbacks? All of them. Do you know why?
Because they're trying to keep up with the Joneses.
There you go, brother. That's all I got to say.
All right.
Let's, by the way, the guy from Carolina broke his leg, so he's gone.
Now, okay, I saw that. And the shame only injuries on me. Shame on me for not knowing.
Vita, whatever his name.
Oh yeah, you talking about
messed up his quad.
The lineman.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
So it's serious.
And you know, a down lineman. Guess what they use to take off from the line of scrimmage?
Yeah. I know. Every morning when I take a dump, that quad is very important.
Thanks for sharing.
You know, I'm just saying, you can't quite get up
when the grunt happens.
You got to be able to squat.
That's
you got to be able to get down in that stance. Oh, call man. Evacuation.
The
all right.
Shit we talk about on this show.
All right, hey now, that's the last one out of you. The
all
last
right.
one.
All right, come on.
Listen, lest I heard
you need your quads to heave a Havana. There's no doubt about it.
From several sources, touting Monday's practice as the best defensive practice ever in training camp.
Yeah,
but I contend that when you got Hill, Barrett, and Savage throwing the ball against you.
It is not hard to have
the best defensive practice ever.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you this one.
And what person out there has been around for all of them?
That can make that determination. And I'll give you this. So they were talking big about how the defense was so great that kept them scoreless. If they could just end the game, scoreless. Here comes Drew Brees.
Right.
Boom,
right.
Touchdown. Okay, well, what happened?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what happened was that Marshon Lattimore was trying to take a squat.
Oh!
Yes, and he must have had a quad issue.
Quad issue.
He actually tried to sit on that ball. I mean, it was right there. It was a very intense practice.
Yes.
And everybody seemed to be aware, including Drew Brees, who was not screaming and yelling. I'm all excited. But he was talking to the defense talking to them. And the ironic thing about it, how many games have we seen where, even maybe if it's the Saints, and you're just sitting there and you throttling the guy and you throttling the team, and then all of a sudden you give up the big touchdown. And it's like all that good defense means nothing, even if you do it for three series.
That's right.
You own for three series and you give up a touchdown. You know, matter of fact, the Carolina game, they were playing us pretty well, and then remember the touchdown passed again. They were handling it. I think it was maybe the second Carolina game, and they decided to stop the run, and we didn't move the ball very well. Then all of a sudden the floodgates opened whenever we hit again on that long pass and scored a touchdown.
Yeah. Now remember, even in the dreaded Minnesota game in the playoffs, what turned that game around? We were losing. We were getting our heads handed to us in a basket because we were trying to run. They closed down the run. Until finally coach said, well, you know, we got the all-star quarterback back there, Drew. Go beat him. And we came back, and we would have beat that team. And how did we beat him? Because Drew said, I'm going to pick you apart. Go ahead and stop the run. And I'm telling you, this is why I say a leopard doesn't change its spots. I don't care that Ingram's not playing in the first four games. We're still going to pick our spots to throw that ball. Drew's going to sit back there, and I would agree with Heath. Our offensive lineman, by the way, we signed a new offensive lineman.
That signing in itself is a little worrisome.
A guard. Barkley.
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 Whatever his name is, yeah. He played with Green Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read it as he was a guard.
I heard today that I was told he was a tackle.
No, I heard he was a guard.
Well, that's why I brought it up. If he's a guard, I feel better about it because I know there's no issues with guard that would command bringing someone in. But when I heard it was tackle, I immediately was worried because of the backup tackle situation.
Heath is doing the research as we speak.
As we speak.
Yeah, but I'd heard he was a guard.
Yeah.
So, but in any case, you know, to me, the one area that I worry about is not really quarterback. The area I worry about is offensive line because I think we got great starters. I have no doubt that we have the five best offensive starters on that line in the South for sure, maybe in the league. But we don't have any depth, really. Once we lost Kelemente, because I'm sorry, I'm not sold on Laribus. I'm not sold on what's the other guy that they had?
The kid that played tackle for us in the Super Bowl left tackle.
Bushrod.
Yeah. I'm not sold on those two guys being backup guards. You know, and I'm okay with Pete having to swing out to play tackle if he has to, but that means we have to have somebody who can play guard. Yeah. And I just don't see a backup at guard. And so that worries me.
He's a guard.
See? So there you go.
I've heard that on several occasions, and I just I mean, I like Calamity. We talked. I liked him. I just don't think his loss is the drop off between Calamity and Larribas, or you know, even Bushrod or whatever. I don't think it's so huge that it would, you know. At the end of the day, it's maybe not to the same degree, but like losing your quarterback. You know, you lose Breeze, you lose Armstead. There's gonna be a huge drop off to the next guy. The only time there's not a huge drop off is when you have someone that's not that good starting to begin with. You know what I'm saying?
But this is why I'm saying to you, I believe that our five starters are really good.
No, I get you. And you whoever, know? But you're never gonna have. Man, I mean, like even last year, I heard somebody say, "I don't know, man." I listen to these little things, and it just makes me think people don't do their homework. And they said, you know, well, we lost Calamity and lost Shreef, and that's a lot of depth. And I'm like, Shreef only played. Did he play two games last year? Did he get hurt in a season opener? No.
It wasn't the season.
The rookie
opener.
Played. Ramczyk played left tackle in the season.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But I think he got hurt in maybe.
Yeah,
game
it was
two.
Very early.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah. So the point is that you didn't have that depth last year.
But I think what the depth they're talking about is depth of leadership. I don't think they're talking
now,
about.
No, that's a whole different story.
Of athleticism.
The one thing that I think is very underrated, and even myself, is leadership, and it seems like we have that in spades this year. So matter of fact, one of the notes I took, Kurt Coleman.
Now, oh, man, what a difference, huh?
And let me say something, too, about Bell. I remember doing this show last year during preseason and pointing out that, like, hey, look, I know it's just training camp reports, but I haven't seen much of Bell, and I was only, I think, maybe three practices last year. But then, you know, I'm reading all the different tweets from all – and I just would never see his name come up. And I pointed that out on the show. I'm like, I don't know what it means. Maybe it means that he has his guy locked down and they just don't talk about him. But this year his name is popping up constantly. Mm-hmm. So you're talking potentially another guy that might be getting over the hump. And you know, some guys, you know, we love it when they take 1 year to develop and they kick ass in their first year, their rookie year, but that don't happen all the time. And that, boy, how long is it going to last where people going to expect that because of last year's class?
But then how much does that say about, do you have somebody back in that backfield who's now telling him, hey, kid, you're 2 steps on the wrong side.
Absolutely.
Hey,
you know,
move up another step.
Look,
hey,
watch
drop
that
back on this.
Watch that crossing.
Right.
And you do you believe that Vaccaro, and again, I don't want to, all of a sudden, Vaccaro's gone and I'm going to pick on him. I like, again, back to, I always want to see my return. I buy a new car, I want it to run good.
Yeah.
I spent a first-round draft pick on a player. I want them to succeed. Vaccaro did some things that I liked. I never thought he was a great leader. Maybe he's one of those guys, like, if you get in a fight, you would look to him and be like, well, Vaccaro's fighting, I'm going to fight too. But never as a like a leader that, man, more studying the film, more knowing.
Right,
I never thought he was that good. And the words that I would get from people is that he was never the guy that was like, I'm going to spend a little bit more time in the classroom. Now, all of a sudden, with Coleman, you do have that. And, you know, I didn't think of it from that perspective. I just thought more of, hey, look, another guy that's getting over the hump. But you make a great point, Tomas. Is Bell improving? Yeah, maybe. Because he's going into his third year, but yeah, because he has somebody back there who's a leader, who understands how the game works.
And who's pushing him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, I mean, I hate to say it again, I like Vaccaro too, but Vaccaro really couldn't push him once you got outside of the box. I mean, that was about the only thing he could really, you know. And the good news is, if anything happens, Vaccaro's going to be a phone call away.
Yeah, he's still there. We just call him up and tell him to come on over. Yeah. I heard from a pretty reliable source that he had a deal in place, and it wasn't a big deal, and he turned it down. I think it was Miami, and I think he thinks he can get a little bit more money, you know, when somebody gets injured. So he could be signed if he wanted to.
What I heard was that Vaccaro was actually investing his money in a sandwich shop.
As soon as you say what I heard, I knew some BS was coming after that.
No, I'm serious.
Are you?
Yeah. All the sandwiches are going to be served in a box, no bags.
That's right. There you go. See, that's what I'm talking about. Man. See?
That's what we miss, man. That's what we miss. Yeah. That insight.
Well, I have
you
to show up more often.
You just can't get that anywhere.
We brought
Tyler in thinking that we would get something like that, but I mean, you know, nothing.
I got nothing.
Hold up.
I really needed to come back.
I don't know if Tyler even knows what's going on there. Tyler, you know that's Heath saying.
Yeah, I do.
Now.
I know.
He knew. All right. So let's see. Anything else interesting? On Wednesday, today, I try not to use the day, but today, Davenport didn't practice, and I have yet to hear why. Anybody hear why?
I didn't hear why.
He went off with a trainer, and he's been working on the side and not
Oh, so at least he's out.
I mean, he's been out, and the other guy, he looked like he had like a big giant medicine ball. They were doing some kind of exercise with his hands and whatnot. And but
I tell
that thumb can't be healed up yet. So I mean, you know,
hopefully it's that. I tell you, part of it is his demeanor just does not come across. And I know this has nothing to do with football, but I'm a little concerned. I am. I don't know what to say. He hasn't. It's he's still early. I know. Yeah. I know all the things. You can list them off. You can. He's young. He's inexperienced. He give him some time. I get it. I completely agree.
Yeah.
But man, I'd love to hear him. I'd love to hear him be like, yeah, you know, I'm working on a few things, and you know, when I get this together, I'm gonna. But he has this like soft kind of. Almost like a little kid. It's like, well, you know, I'm really working on it. And I'm just like, no, man, come on. Man up. Let's get some bass in your voice, son.
Yeah.
You
know?
Have you heard him talk?
I have not.
It just very.
He's very demure.
Yeah, he's just
But his play has been demure this week.
Yeah. And again, he had a couple of good plays, you know, and
but
arguable.
Look, let's face facts here. The guy has got all the athleticism and all that stuff, but he only ran against offenses the same. He only had one move. Now, you might say, well, he looks terrible, but he's playing against Armstead, okay? And so Armstead's probably telling him, dude, that's not going to work.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know what? I knew you were coming this way because I looked at your body. You tilted this way. You're giving that away.
I don't know if Armstead hadn't done anything because a couple of times Davenport's laying on the ground and Armstead might have just been like, and if you're not watching the VCast, just shaking his head like, no, that ain't going
to
work.
But that's what I'm saying to you. He's going up against our best tackle.
I agree.
And the word is that that Armstead has actually been telling him, look, you got to work on this because in the NFL, that what you did just now ain't going to work. Yeah.
And here's the thing. I do, and listen, all you have to do, if you listen to the show, you know that I like the guy. He doesn't play soft. So it's just his. I'm really talking more about his. Yes, he hasn't been productive. I didn't really expect him to be.
But now I'm going to ask you this.
But his,
when we first when we first got Cam, was he a boisterous kind of guy? You remember? He was from California. He was laid back, right? And the same thing why he thought he was about. Who did he work against the whole time his first year? Streif. And so Streif was telling him, dude, that ain't going to work either because all you're doing is one thing. You need to gain 20 pounds, and you need to do this and this and this and this. So I'm going to say the same thing. Like I said before, I don't expect to see a lot from Davenport in the first half. I expect to see some things from him in the second half. Okay.
I was going to say that before you went. I was waiting for you to finish, and I was going to say I completely agree with you. I'm giving him crap. Like I said,
Heath disagrees with us. You know, we got Okafor, and he's looked great. He doesn't even look like he's been injured. So if he comes back to what he was before.
And Hendrickson is
feisty. He doesn't look like he's been injured all 6 years he's played football?
All 6 years.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad. I'm glad.
He looks the best since he tumbled out his mom's womb.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic. That's that makes me feel good about the season. Almost as good as this guy we gave up next year's first round pick to draft.
There you go. There you go. Well.
You got something more to add to that?
Last time we drafted a guy that was – last time we gave up that much to draft a guy that was all demure speaking and all was Ricky Williams.
Oh, yeah. Well, he did great in Miami.
Yeah. So, were you talking about the second half of his career or of this year?
Hey, but based on the way you're talking, the second half of this year might be the second half of his career.
It might be. It might be.
I did not – I want you to know – hold on a second. I do not –
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration.
Okay, I want.
See,
we need to clarify.
He takes 2 weeks
this.
Off. He takes 2 weeks off, man, and he's
feisty.
He's fired up.
He's feisty.
He's been saving it all up. You know.
Yeah.
Listen, I agree with you, Tomas. I expect that we'll start seeing something. He's a lot more raw than I anticipated. But here's the thing: he'll learn faster. What you're seeing today, by the end of training camp, he'll be significantly better. Again, what does that mean? Is it two first round? I know it's all relative. Is it two first round draft picks?
He'll move up from a seventh round draft pick to a sixth round.
Right. But you know, right now Muhammad's over there saying, "No, bro, you got to do it like this." You know you're in trouble when Muhammad's pulling him to the side. Like, "No, you get your arm over like this and you want to get." And he's like, "Oh, man,
Muhammad goes, "You know what a pimp slap is?"
Anyway,
I don't. How would you do that?
Man, go look it up. If you don't know what I'm talking about, he just soft spoken.
Like, well, I'm working as hard as I can. I want to try to learn as much as I can. And, you know, it's just, I'm glad to be here.
he reminds me, there's this, it's a long time ago, it's old, and it was a Saturday night clip where these two guys, they were making fun of synchronized swimming.
Oh, yes.
And so it's men synchronized swimming,
yeah.
And the one guy's
nose clip.
Yeah, the one guy was like, you know, like a swimmer and stuff, and he would point at, no, and you know, in our swimming, they allow us to touch the bottom of the pool, and the other guy's sitting over there, and
he's got his floaties on.
He's got floaties on, and he just says, I can't swim real good.
No, see, I would go a different route. I'm hoping that Davenport is like when Eddie Murphy did Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
A wonderful time in the neighborhood.
Right?
Yeah.
And somebody, you know, and children, we hear it. Yeah, what you want?
Right.
Yeah.
He'll turn the corner.
Hopefully so. Hopefully so.
There you go. Well, right. I think that's a good one. Yeah.
You got any final thoughts, Tomas?
Oh, it's just starting.
No, we are. It hadn't even been the first preseason game. Next Thursday.
Yeah.
First preseason game. Is that what you meant?
Yes, that's what I meant. And also, see,
not
I'm not begging for any money. I'm just telling you how it is. I got more to say. If you want to hear it, Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. That's
0.0019. I'm giving you a discount.
Discount.
Now, wow. It was 0.0021. But now, just because I'm in a good mood today, I'm going to lower the price to 0.0019. Is that correct, Tyler? You're going to look that up for us, right?
But wait. 0.019. There's more.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll look it up. Yeah.
If you call right now... You can download the show twice for that same .0019.
There you go. Yeah. I'm telling you.
And listen.
And no extra handling on that.
We'll make this deal even sweeter.
Oh, I know, more.
Yeah. And there's more.
Go ahead.
We'll get him all liquored up. We'll get Heath all liquored up and come in there. And, man, you don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. I guess that's the big thing now. You got to get drunk and act stupid. And you send money. I guess we're supposed to do stupid
money.
Stuff.
Bitcoin.
Oh,
only.
Bitcoin. I'm sorry. You send Bitcoin and then there we do dumb stuff.
We're going to teach you how to do this yet.
I don't know.
It's Bitcoin.
We'll work it out.
Because it's easier to deal with.
Yeah.
All right.
It's the new and happening currency.
It is. I want to thank Tyler Kistner for helping us produce the show today.
Yeah, like always.
For Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio.
Yes, sir.
I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers. And none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back. And that's the way it is.
When is they so dumb, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, bye, don't.